too. Okay, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you for this wonderful day you've given us. Sunshine, man, tell you what, it was awesome, Lord. Went out and walked a little bit this afternoon, and it was just awesome, Lord. Thank you for a wonderful day. Thank you for this going to be a wonderful night tonight, because you're the one that's going to be leading. The Holy Spirit's going to be leading us, and I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for all my brothers and sisters that are on here, Lord, and I thank you for all the answered prayers. And Father, we just know that when we pray, that we have an open heaven and that things get done. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for all that's going to be accomplished tonight. Everything that you're going to do in each one of us, Lord. We thank you for all the testimonies and praise reports and revelations out of your word, Lord. And we just praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do in each one of us. You're knitting our hearts together and pulling the cord tight, Lord, and that's great, because we have such a love for you and for each other. The brothers and sisters here, Lord, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And those out there that aren't able to get on, Lord, we know that they're just part of it, just like the ones that are here, Lord. And we ask that you bless them as well in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Larry, let me get me a pencil here right quick. Man, it's been a while since I've talked with you, Larry. A few years, matter of fact. Okay, let's see here, just a moment. One more minute here. Let me get something else straight here. Okay. It looks like you didn't have any trouble getting on. That's good. That's real good. Thank you, Lord. Okay, well, we're gonna pray for it. Do you want to pray? You want me to pray? We'll all bleed. I believe your wife's name's Connie. Larry, you have to unmute. I think that is here. I'll do it for you. Can you hear me?
Yep. I hear you.
Okay. All right. You want to pray? You want us to pray?
You go ahead, and I've been praying, and so I'll agree with you guys now.
Okay, now you say the pain has left her chest and gone down to her stomach area?
Yes.
Okay, that sounds like a demon. In the name of Jesus right now, we command that spirit of infirmity off of Connie right now. In Jesus' name, we command you to completely come out of her in the name of Jesus. We command the pain to go, and everything that is associated with it, you go right now in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we thank you that Connie is free, delivered from all of that mess in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Everybody agree?
Agree.
Thank you, Lord. It is done. Connie, you are healed by the stripes of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus has covered you, and you are delivered and set free by the power of the mighty word of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You believe that, Connie?
Yes, I do.
Okay, it is done then. Praise the Lord. All right. Anyone else got a prayer? Hey, iPad Judy, what's up, girl? Go on with your bad self.
I have had such an awesome day.
Wait a minute. Time out. Let me mute Larry here. Okay. Hang on, Judy.
Okay.
Just 1 second.
Okay.
I know you're just chomping at the bits, but hang on just a minute.
I am.
All right. Go ahead, Judy.
Well, this was awesome. I went to the laundromat to do the laundry.
Praise God, you finally got them washed, did you?
Yes, I Yeah, you're going to see me in clean clothes. Anyhow, there was this girl there, and as she was walking out, I said, I thought she'd give her a book. So we started talking, and she was a Christian. She's young, and she got baptized not very long ago. And oh, what a wonderful talk we had. And she, I mean, she's going to a church that believes in healing and the Holy Spirit. And and I invited her to a Monday meeting, but then she invited me over for tea. So that was really cool. So I just got back from being there, but she's an awesome, awesome girl, really filled with the Lord. And then there was another couple there that, you know, you're not supposed to judge by why people look. But I still thought, okay, I think I'll give them a book too. And here they are Christians, this couple. And they took all the
don't
food.
Don't you see where laundry was not supposed to be done at home?
Yeah, and they took all that food that I had in the car from Patty's condo. All of it.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, they needed that. And I'm going to meet them over at the women's consignment shop tomorrow because the girl doesn't have any clothes and she's pregnant. So I'm going to buy her some stuff over there. And what a day. I mean, it was just so
oh, my. I wish you'd get excited sometime, Judy. Glory to God. All right. That sounds good, girl.
Yeah. It's
awesome. They live here in town?
Yeah.
What do you say? Okay.
Yeah. Downtown.
Yeah. Yeah. Over the one over there by Wendy's.
Oh, I'm sure everybody knows where you're talking about.
Yeah, talk about. Well, it's just the one I bought. Oh, it's where Missy used to live.
Oh, that's the hood.
That's a good place.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to
that was over in the hood.
You guys can meet her.
All right. Praise God. That's good, Judy. Awesome. Praise God. Got you a tea drinking friend now, huh? Amen. Well, Sue, we can't hear you. You got to unmute if you're going to talk. What's that, Sue? Wait a minute. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Anyone else? Testimony, praise report, or a prayer request? Yeah, go ahead, Marilyn.
Hey, Brother Michael. I would like prayer, and I would like you to pray for me. I've been fighting some kind of spirit of infirmity for several days, mm-hmm. and this has been on me before. And anyway, I'm kind of weak and worn out and no appetite and headaches. And started out with about a vertigo on Saturday. And the enemy's trying to put, you know, I'm casting all this stuff down because I believe that I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus, that I'm redeemed from all the power and the curse of sin and death. But he's trying to put a lot of doubt and fear and unbelief and anxiety and worry on me because I've been through this before and it was bad and it lasted a really long time. And I just don't receive that. I believe that mm-hmm. we're coming into some really great times and the Lord's called me to labor. And in the midst of all of this, though, I've been spending a lot of time in prayer and in the Word. You know, if you're kind of tired, you can always sit on the bed and pray or read the Word. And so I've been doing that, but I would appreciate you praying for me, Michael.
Okay. When I pray for you, you're going to be healed, okay?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
I'm going to ask Barry to put his hand on you. Put your hand on it in the name of Jesus right now. I command that spirit of infirmity to get off of Marilyn. I command you to go right now. Take all your buddies with you too in the name of Jesus. Every spirit right now, you go In the name of Jesus, I command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ that you have to leave her and take all your symptoms with you in the name of Jesus. I command the pain to go. I command all symptoms to go and every tormenting spirit that has tormented her these last 3-4 days. I command you to go right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that it is done because your word said it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, that Marilyn is healed. We just praise your holy, holy name, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Because we know that when we pray, we have open heavens. All of us do.
Yes.
And we know, Father, that your angels are on the job right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for her complete
healing
right now and deliverance.
Thank you, Jesus.
She is set free by the blood of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It is done. You're healed. Praise God for it because it's a done deal. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I believe it's done.
I believe it, too.
I feel the Holy Spirit. If I don't know about you. I feel pretty good right now.
Boy. Yeah, I do, too. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Brother Michael.
Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Ooh, my. All right. Anyone else? Go, Leon.
My sister-in-law, Susan, just sent me a text. She said she would like to be on tonight, but she's down in her back. I wanted to pray for that. And then if I can get all you guys to agree with me, I'd appreciate it.
Amen.
Well, Lord, we lift up Susan to you, Lord God, and we claim that her back is healed in the name of Jesus. She believes in you, Lord God, and trusts you, Lord God. And she's had prayers before, not by me or any of us, but she's had prayers before, and they didn't take effect. But, Lord God, we pray that you give her the faith to believe that she will be healed. And, Lord, heal her. Take away this pain. She's a child of God. She's not under the curse. Or shouldn't be under the curse. And Lord God, just minister the truth to her and heal her up in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Lord, you mind if I pray for also?
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for what you're doing in Susan right now. In the name of Jesus right now, we command that back pain to leave her. You go. We command it by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to go in the name of Jesus. And Father,
yes.
We thank you. That she is healed.
Yes, God.
Set free from this backache, pain, or whatever it is. In the
yes.
name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you the next time she gets up, she's going to not feel any pain at all. She's going to walk around, dance around, do whatever it is she got to do, Lord.
Yes, she does.
She's going to praise God. And we're just going to mark the time. If this is the time that she got healed at 8:18 tonight, in Jesus'
Amen.
Name. Thank
yes.
you, Father. That Susan
thank
is
you.
Completely healed. In Jesus' name. Not she's going to be. She's already healed. In
yes.
Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
And we cast out any symptom demon that may be coming back
yeah.
on her. And Lord God, I'm going to call her and help her recognize this stuff. So
yeah.
You do it, Lord God, in Jesus' name.
Yeah, just tell her. Sometimes them old demons will go out there and do a wheelie and come right on back, you know, just to test you out. And just tell her, say, just rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and it can't stay. It'll go. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else? I feel better all over than I do anywhere else. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. How about you, Malcolm? You can't get warm enough up there where you are. Praise God.
I'm so far away. I've got my unmute takes a lot longer. all those electrons.
Okay.
Just to get flow in your direction.
Are you still cutting wood, feeding that beast?
Well, I've been looking. We've had a week or more of nice sunshine, and now we're getting to 60 degrees, and it's a big time meltdown. And if you want to come see us, you got to come up our driveway, and you'll get knee deep in mud. No, not quite that bad, but it's steep, but it's hard to keep your. It's just a muck mess.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, I'll drive eventually, pain, brother.
But it's wonderful. You see, every day is like Noah's Ark. You start seeing more and more dry land.
Yeah, that sounds like I want to come up there and visit. Sure. I'll be right up there. Sometime I might come up there, though, but it'll have to be a translation. I'm not going to willingly get in my truck and come up there.
Well, no, it gets like in the hundreds, you know, in the summer. Not hundreds, plural, just hundreds. 100 plus.
That'd be all right.
Come join us and kind of sit by one of the forest fires to keep warm, you know, if it's too cold at 120.
You don't have any humidity up there where you are, do you?
Well, right now we do, but not in the house, but outside. Yeah, we have about 50%, I don't know.
Oh, really?
50, 60, yeah.
Okay. All right. Anybody else need prayer or would like to got a praise report or a testimony?
I have a couple people I'd like to bring up.
I have a
niece, a niece's grandmother down in Brazil just had surgery this morning. And I don't know the status. I don't even know what the surgery was for. But our niece asked us to pray, so I did. So that's one thing. And maybe I'll just go ahead and pray about that and then go to the next one. Is that okay?
You sure, yeah. That's part of the
Lord, I just pray for this lady down there in Brazil, Lord, that you will I don't even know if she knows the Lord very well or what her relationship is, Lord, but I just pray that you'll break through her situation, that you'll send somebody to her that can help her to understand faith. I pray you preserve her for the great outpouring that's coming, that Lord, she will can participate in that. And I just pray for great things to happen all through my wife's family and my family, that you're you'll cut through all their religious barriers and to deal with all that. And I pray that I will walk holy before you and humbly and quietly and be careful about the Gideon thing, knocking all the idols down and chopping all the trees down and making a bunch of enemies. The other thing, and I just thank you for doing that, Lord. And then also for this other, the other person I wanted to pray for was a friend that has had, he and her husband, he and his wife have had some bitter things have happened to them. They've gotten a problem with bitterness. His dad's having cardio, pulmonary, well, it's not pulmonary edema, but it's where your heart doesn't pump well enough, and so your body fills up with fluids. So a congestive heart failure. So the doctors are trying to figure out what in the world's going on there. Anyway, Lord, I just pray, Lord, for Burl, Lord, that you will, and for that whole family, Lord, it just seems like there's a curse on every part of their family. I just pray, Lord, that you will break through all that, whatever the blockage is there, Lord, and you will open up this family's heart to you, that they will humble themselves before you and just confess things and make things right with the folks that they've been upset with. It's so hard to see the suffering. So I thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just hook our faith up with Malcolm. Lord, if there's any unforgiveness in him, we ask that you show it to him. or anything that's hindering their healing, Father. We just ask that you show it to them and so they can repent and get healed, Lord, and that breaking that generational curse on them or whatever it is that's bringing them down. Father, we thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. If it's a critical spirit, if it's judgmental or whatever it is, Father, just show it to them so they'll understand what's going on, that they can't go against your word. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, I've tried talking with, you know, our friend who's just a little younger than we are about the bitterness thing, and just doors just closed up. Well, for one thing, since I left the denomination, you know, just about everything I say is kind of suspect. But I know the Lord can cut through all that stuff from some other angle other than me trying to address it. So He can open doors. So. Yeah, the daughter's, she's very young, just got married, just in absolute misery, and doesn't look like she has many years left to live. And the other daughter's got serious problems, and oh my goodness, just hard to watch all this. So, anyway, I've been praying for these guys for years and years and years. Dear people, really, you know, I mean, just, there are times when it's just that they're the neatest people to be around.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you just keep praying and believing for them, and God will do, you know.
You know, I had a word from a, I don't know if he was a prophet or I think he had one of the fivefold ministries on him there, but, and I didn't see him before or after, but I was in a meeting and he called me up front. I went there because I heard he was coming. And I actually wanted to be called up front. I didn't know anybody there, you know. I just maybe a couple of people I knew had told me about it. So, but one of the things he told me when he called me up front was he says you're worried a lot. You're really worried about some people, and it's almost at the point of desperation. He just said. Says you concentrate on what the Lord wants you to concentrate on, what He has for you, and He'll take care of the other people. So I've kind of been hanging on to that. You know, yeah. do my diligence with the Lord and depend on the Lord to take care of the other folks.
Amen. Yep, I believe that too. I believe that you run out to the Lord, He'll take care of all the other stuff that you've been praying for. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
I'd like to share something with Malcolm, if I could.
Sure.
I had this dream yesterday, Malcolm, and you were in it. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but I'll just tell you a little bit of it. I mean, the main gist of it is I had just like made a list of things to go and get at the store, and you came and visited. and I was talking to you and asked you if you wanted to stay for dinner, and you said you didn't really give me an answer. And I had asked you again later, and you said, well, I have some other plans, and you indicated that it was with someone from UBM or whatever, and I had asked you if you ever visited before, you know, and you said, yeah, and the last time I visited, I drove a Buick. I don't know what that means. That's why I asked you what I asked you earlier. But, and I don't know if, you know, this has anything to do with you considering going and visiting or anything like that. I don't know if this means anything to you. But I asked the Lord for some words for you in this dream. And I just believe the Lord just wants to encourage you. I don't know if the enemy's been trying to beat you up or anything like that, but the first verse he gave me was Job 8:20. And I landed on the first part of that, and it's A, 8:20a. And it says, "Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man." And that's the part that I landed on. And then the other part was in Ezekiel 1:27, and I landed on this phrase. There was brightness round about him, and I landed on the word him. There was brightness round about him. So, you know, I just believe the Lord's saying, you know, that he's shining out of you. And just to be encouraged, you know, don't let the enemy, speak condemnation on you and all. And just keep your eyes on the Lord. So I don't know if any of that resonates with you, but that's just what I hope to share with you.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. I can go back and listen to the recording, but you said something that you asked me something at the beginning, and I didn't catch that. You asked me something and I didn't answer or something? I forgot what you were asking.
I asked you if you wanted to stay for dinner.
Oh. Well, yeah.
There was something else in there too, Missy, you said, but I didn't catch too.
What was that?
The Buick?
That's what I'm asking. I don't know. Just go on.
I asked you if you had visited UBM before, and you said yes, you had. And the last time you came and visited UBM was you drove a Buick.
Oh, that's the part I missed.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Go out there in the barn, get the old Buick out.
Wow. Well, one dream I had years ago was that I Michael, you asked me to send this to you, but I haven't done it yet. I haven't even written it out yet. But the way I arrived at UBM was I came in, I guess I was flying, but I was standing upright in the air, and I came down at a pretty good clip, and almost like when you're landing with a parachute where you have to kind of run. Except I didn't really have to run. I just kind of landed, and we went into this building, and here are all these wonderful people. It was that was an awesome dream, actually.
Hmm.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Missy. I'm going to go back and listen to that, what you just said again. It's very one of the things I was praying for the other night, because one of the things I absolutely love is, prophecies like this or words for other people. And that's one of the things I've been asking the Lord for myself, is that I can minister to other people in that way, having words of knowledge because for me, that has made a huge something I've held on to for years for different words I've gotten. So, years and years. Thank you so much.
Sure.
I think I've got one for you too, Malcolm. Can you hear me?
Yes, please.
I was kind of just led to, when we were talking about other people needing healing in their back and different stuff, I was looking up 3 John 2. But then the more I read it, the more it fit you and your situation. It's where it talks about your walk and your family and brothers and witnessing your walk. And it says, I believe this is for you. Beloved, I pray that in all things you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and bear witness unto thy truth, even as thou walkest in truth. Greater joy have I none than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. And the more it talks there is about being a witness and sending out other people. And I believe that that's what's going on in your family dynamic that as you prosper and are in health because of your soul prospering, that they are going to witness what God is doing in you, and you won't have to struggle, or they're going to come along easy. That's what I'm believing for.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just in the process of grabbing my Bible. I was in another floor of the house.
I think I said Second John, but it's the third epistle of John, verse 2.
Verse 2. Okay, thank you. Verse 2. Let me tell you what's happened, which is the most remarkable turn of events. My wife's parents have been, or at least one of them, have been quite very offended and angry and resentful that I left the denomination, and said some pretty rough stuff. Anytime I say something, they don't want to hear what I have to say, to the point where they just tell me to be quiet, which is probably a good thing. I could learn that. But I just learned I need to just keep my mouth shut on things. And because in the past I've been quite vocal and talked about different issues. So, but what happened was one of our cats had diabetes. Pancreas wasn't working. With insulin and food, got him into a very, very good situation, but then he had cancer and died. But, and I think there are reasons, spiritual reasons behind what was going on there. But in the process of that, my wife's parents, one of them said, "Why don't you just put the cat to sleep?" And I got really upset because, I was taking care of the cat. And what's happened is their precious dog, which is almost like an idol to them, they've been giving it all kinds of sweets and ice cream and treats and, super high carbohydrate diet. So their dog came down with diabetes really bad. And with dogs, it's, without God, it's irreversible, generally speaking. So, I'm not in a position where I could ask him if I could pray for the dog, because that wouldn't go over well. But so I've just been taking what I learned from our cat, and the dog has now gotten to the point where it's almost in remission already without even changing the diet. It's just incredible. Stop drinking water all the time, and it's like a brand new dog again. And they are so indebted acting and just bending over backwards. What can they do to, and it's like this complete change of events. It's like the tables have been completely turned, except I don't want to be criticizing. I don't want to return, good for evil or anything. So it's just this complete change of events. And it's in the flesh. I mean, not in the flesh, but I'm doing this in the natural. Insulin just has an effect on the body, and but it's really an amazing transformation that's taking place in our relationship. I even told them right up front. I said, our relationship's a little bit marginal, and I don't want to take on, helping this dog out. If I'm going to be one of the parents was quite reluctant to let me do anything because of all. They just don't trust me. So anyway, after when they finally agreed to let me help and saw the enormous change that's taking place, and it's not like a miracle, it's just natural consequences of insulin. It's just a complete change. And I'm trying to think, this is very unusual. It's like a turning of the tables. It's like a, the temptation for me is to be, before it was to be resentful and think, how dare you say such terrible things, to me. They told me, one of them told me some pretty nasty stuff, just very condemning, very condemning. There's a lot of condemnation going on around here, just like you said. You didn't say that, but your word. So it's been a very humbling thing for me, and in that respect, it's very good. And I want to cooperate in this crucifixion process, and I don't want a crucifixion because I need a spanking. I don't. That's not the kind of crucifixion I'm searching for. Is that my old man be? You know what I mean? You know, like Peter says, you know, what good is it to be punished for wrongdoing? You know, I think we all long to be punished for right doing. That's the kind of punishment we're looking for. So, I mean, kind of, you know what I'm saying. So, anyway, thank you. I just wanted to explain that. I'm just pretty excited about it, the way things are going. So.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Julie. Good to have you with us tonight. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah. iPad Judy, go right ahead.
Well, I want to add to my story. this young girl that I met, she also, did I tell you she invited me to tea? Well, yeah, I went over to her apartment. Did I say that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when we was over there, she said I was her very first guest. And so, you know, that was cool. We prayed together and before we ate. And then when I was in Walmart, you know how they have these things for you to look at when you go into Walmart, it's easy to buy things. Well, they had these books, religious books and like poems and different things and stuff. And I started looking at it like a daily devotion for women. But then I thought, no, I read the Daily Bread. I don't need that. And then all of a sudden I thought, well, I'm gonna get it for Rachel. I think she might like it. So I got it for her, and it was the same book that she's been looking at and wanted to buy. How awesome was that? Thank you, Lord. So I just want that.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay. If I can think of something else, I'll let you know.
Okay, yeah, warn us. That's good, Judy. Thanks. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Leah.
I took a moment and called my sister-in-law and explained to her about faith, about the prayer. I told her we prayed for her and that she has to believe it and so forth. And if it goes away and comes back in a couple of days, you know, that's a symptom demon, just rebuke it and all that kind of stuff. So she accepted that pretty good. She's not used to that, but she accepted it pretty good. And I think that the Lord's going to do that for her.
Amen.
I know the Lord's going to do that for her.
Yes, he will.
Yes. So thanks for your prayers. Thanks for everybody's prayers.
Yep. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Pat.
This is kind of the word I got when Marilyn was asking for prayer, and she was talking about some of the things that she's going through. And the thing that the word that came to me was sealed. And so I searched where that was at in the scripture. It's in 2 Corinthians 1:22. But I wanted to just read it in context, if I could. It was in reference to in verse 18, Paul talking to somebody. I don't know who it is here. But anyway, he says, "But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yea or nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him is yea. For how many soever be the promises of God, in him is the yea. Wherefore also through him is the amen, unto the glory of God through us. Now he that established us with you in Christ, and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And when Marilyn, you were talking about that, it's like that word that who also sealed us. It just kind of stuck out to me as I remember when I first saw that. I think I was reading in Job, and it dawned on me as Job was praying about his kids and whatnot. And then it flashed back or flashed up and showed the situation that was happening in heaven. And it shows the devil coming to the Lord, and you know, basically they had a conversation, and then the Lord giving the devil permission to afflict Job in some form or another. And it dawned on me at that time that, and I was just a young Christian at the time, but it dawned on me that that devil can't touch you except by a word, except by an allowed word from God. And that the Father has us in his hand, in his complete control, complete protection, and allows Satan to do certain things in our lives as a growing process or as a maturing, but no way does the devil have free will in our lives. And that was so set me free in a bit of a rest in that protection of God. But even at that time, but the thing that hit me, I guess, tonight when I was listening is that word sealed us, like that stamp, or like that. I'm not quite sure. I have to think about it for a while or whatever. But he not only sealed us, and in that protection, under that protection, basically that stamp saying you can't touch. This is mine. You can't touch. But he also gave us the earnest of the Holy Spirit in our hearts so that we can rest within that that envelope or that protection. So I don't know exactly why that hit me or whatever, but I'll give it to you and let you think about it. Praise the Lord.
Okay. He'll mull it over, or she will. She'll mull it over. Okay, anybody else?
Michael, this is Larry.
Yes, sir. Hi, Larry.
I just want to get a good report. Connie's pain went away almost immediately, and we got a good praise report on that. I really appreciate that. God did again. Also, I got two more requests that came to mind. Connie reminded me that I've had a throat issue, food catches, and I cough a lot for about the past 2-3 years. It's been really bothering me. And prayed several times, and I thought I was healed completely once, and then it came back. Evidently, the next day it didn't stay healed. So, whatever I've been praying, Lord, you know, just continue to show me what needs to be done. But I would like for prayer for that, and also a friend of mine. They're going to come down with us when we come down, Dan and Lori. He's got an abscess tooth, and he was to have it extracted yesterday. And he's very leery of dentists, and he's changed the appointment. He said, we're just going to pray about it. So I said, in my mind, I'll mention him tonight. Dan's his name. And he needs that abscess tooth restored.
Healed. You say his name is Dan?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Dan Markowitz.
Christian Laird?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, let's pray for your throat.
Appreciate it.
Your Father, Lord, I thank you for the authority that you've given us.
Yes, Lord, I thank you.
You said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19 that you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy. This is an enemy to Larry. I command this problem in his throat to leave and not to come back in the name of Jesus. I command you to go now and take all the symptoms with you. Everything that's associated with it to go right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, amen. I thank you that he's not going to have any more problems with this. And if it tries to come back, all he has to do is rebuke it and it'll go. Lord, amen. We thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for the faith that you've infused in Larry and Connie Bolton. Yes. We thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That they are delivered and set free by the power of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Michael.
Thanks.
Michael.
Yes.
That sounds like the chemtrail crud. So let me pray about that. Lord God, the symptoms that Larry just described sounded to me just like the chemtrail crud. It's been abundant in this nation, Lord, since they started spraying chemtrails. And Lord God, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I cast that off of Larry, and I'm praying that he is healed in the name of Jesus. He is healed from this moment forward, Lord God, and he'll not have them symptoms again. And I cast out any symptom demon that may try and come back on him, Lord God, and in the name of Jesus, it's a done deal.
Amen.
And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'll just pray for everybody in here.
Yeah.
These are your brothers and sisters. These are your children, Lord.
Yes.
And I thank you that each one of us are encapsulated in a bubble. We don't have to worry about none of that stuff flying around us because it's not going to hurt us. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. My. Thank you, Lord. That's a good deal, Larry. Everybody here believes it too. I believe. Everybody believe. You believe, Willie? Okay, he believes. All right, everything. How about you, Julie? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, well, that's a done deal. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Willie.
Oh, I thought I was muting myself. Sorry. How do I mute myself?
I'll do it. There you go. Go ahead, Willie.
You know, I knew it was the Lord doing it, but I like to thank Leon that, you know, he sparked something up in me when he was talking. And I was just like, wow, that is amazing how he only thought of wanting a gift to serve others. And often, you know, when I think of wanting a gift, you know, it is to know revelations or the deeper thoughts of God or to know, you know, just to know things, you know, to grow in the spirit. You know, why do we want gifts? You know, is not the service more than the gift? You know, it's like, what do you want a gift for? You know, what do you want, you know, understanding for? What do you want, you know, or prophecy for? What do you want certain gifts for? You know, is the value of that gift, you know, unto the service of the body? Is that's what you want it for? You know, and maybe I know I've thought about, you know, stuff like that before, but He just re-sparked that because the Lord's just been dealing with me, man. Just been dealing with me. And it's been a good deal. But yeah, now I'm just saying, you know, it was just re-sparked to make it more perfect about when you're praying for a gift, you know, the service in which you need to do with the gift should be more important, you know, than just wanting the gift. You know, that's all I got to say about it. I just thought that got me fired up right now. Like, yeah, I'm going to pray for everything now.
Well, let me ask you a question, really. Let me ask you a question, and I'll probably end up asking everybody this question. If you could have one gift in your ministry, which gift would it be that you would desire? I'm talking about what your ministry is.
I've had a lot of people ask me that question. I have absolutely no idea.
A wrong answer.
I really don't. I don't. I don't know what my position is in Christ.
Okay, Andrew's got his hand up. He's got something he wants to say.
No, I think a really nice gift to have. There's a whole chapter about it in the Bible, and you know, it's not only a gift; it's the fruit of the Spirit too, and that's something we have here. Anyways, it's love, agape, because that never fails. And if we're gonna agape, you know, we can take up our cross and follow him. We can do anything because we're believing everything that God has for us. We're coming into agreement with him on everything, and it's the greatest of gifts. You know, I have that chapter written out on a large piece of paper at my work and sort of glance at it every once in a while just to see what it says there. And you know, it's a nice chapter to read and to review a lot. And, you know, just look at all the other places where love is mentioned too, you know. And it's a nice thing to just refresh yourself with. Anyway, I think love is the greatest. It's in the Word, so got to believe it. You gotta love it. You gotta love your love.
Let me rephrase my question. If you had love in your ministry, if you had all the love that Jesus could give you, which gift would work for you? Of the 12 I'm talking about. Let me just rephrase it again. The gift that we want more than anything else, and I'm just going to make a statement. The gift that we want more than anything else is the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? When you got the gift of the Holy Spirit, you have all the gifts available to you. And that's why he tells us to continually be seeking to be filled with the Spirit every day. Just to be filled with this Holy Spirit every day. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit every day in the morning when I get up, here recently I've been asking the Lord to fill me up for the things that's going to happen today. And Jesus, take my hand to lead me so that I don't get ahead of you or too far behind you. I just take my hand and lead me. And it's been working pretty good. But the Holy Spirit is the gift that we should desire more than any other gift, because he's the one that has the gifts. Yeah, Pat.
When you asked that question, I was thinking of the presence of God, but I couldn't think of a gift that was thinking over the gifts. I couldn't think of the gifts that would be the presence of God. But I guess I'm thinking that I was thinking back of that scripture in Psalm 23, when David was saying, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And just that resting in that comfort that you are right there in with Jesus, in God, in that place. Where no harm, no lack, nothing can threaten. In that place, I guess that secret place of the Most High, as David said, "His cup runneth over, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So I think it kind of fits with what you were saying, Michael, about the Holy Spirit. And that it's, if you have him, you have everything you need. You are in his presence. So I don't know. That's just kind of what hit me.
Amen. Let me just read that for you. 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 3. "Wherefore I make known unto you that no man speaking in the Spirit of God saith Jesus is anathema, and no man can say Jesus is Lord but in the Holy Spirit." And then he goes on and lists the gifts. So it's the Holy Spirit that we should seek as the gift. If you've got the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have the Spirit of the Father residing in you. That is wisdom, miracles, signs and wonders, and everything tied up in one. That's all of it. Yeah. But I do have a special gift that I always like to, that the Lord to use me with. And I ain't going to tell you right now. Well, I see Miss shaking her head. Actually, there's three gifts that I always enjoyed working under, in, or through, whatever you say, that the Lord places on me at times when needed, when he wants me to have them. And that's what the Word says. It says that to heal that you'll operate in them as he wills. And that's the gift of healing, the gift of faith, and the gift of miracles. And there's one other that I would love to have, and that's the word of knowledge. That word of knowledge is really useful in a lot of things. But anyway, that's just me. Sometime we'll go over these and find out what they're all about, what they're all are for. All right, anybody else? Yeah, no, I am.
Okay, did I unmute?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to share a little bit about my testimony, and maybe you can shed some light on this, okay? Mm-hmm. When I first got saved back in 1969 or 70, shortly thereafter, I occasionally visited a Pentecostal church with my aunt, whom I was living with. And I went forward, and the pastor laid hands on me, and I spoke in tongues. It just flowed. I mean, it was like, wow, you know. And it only happened that one time. And after it happened that time, I went back and told my cousin, and I was really proud of it, I guess is the word. I felt like I was in the in crowd now, if you know what I'm saying. I wanted to be part of it, and now I was part of it, but it really went to my head. And so shortly after that, I got connected with the congregation that I was with for probably 30 years, and they really poo-pawed the spirit, not the spirit. They poo-pawed the speaking in tongues. They had said that we tried that in our congregation for a while, and it just caused problems and blah, 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 et cetera. So I just put it on the back burner, and that was probably for 30 years until I started attending Pentecostal denomination within the last 10 years, probably, off and on. And in this Pentecostal denomination, a couple times people laid hands on me and tried to teach me how to speak in tongues, and it just never seemed to work. And so, but while I was in the other group for 30 years, I had written a testimony. One brother encouraged us to write our testimonies and put them all online. And I think in that testimony, I may have said something against the Holy Spirit. And I, you know, to this day, even though I've repented, I wondered if I blasphemed against the Holy Spirit, or I wondered if the Lord just took it away because it gave me a big head. But I know I have the power of the Holy Spirit because I've laid hands on people and they have been healed. And sometimes it seems like I have this gift of encouragement with the word. And I do, I believe I really have the gift of faith. But I don't know if you could shed any light on this. I just throw it out there to anybody that can help me.
When you think that you blasphemed the Holy Spirit, did you knowledgeably do that?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure, you didn't blaspheme the Holy Spirit, okay?
Well, intentionally? So just forget about it. Intentionally? No, I don't think I intentionally. I actually, last night I was on the line. Well, first I had asked the Lord last week to remove that testimony if it was in cyberspace out there somewhere. And so I believed he heard me, and he did it. But then last night I thought, I'm just going to look and see if I can pull it up, if it's out there somewhere. So I was searching all over the internet I couldn't remember if I was remarried then or if it was my maiden name, or so I couldn't find anything online last night in regards to it. But you know, I just don't understand why I can't speak in tongues now, I guess.
Then quit thinking about why you can't. Now we're going to pray for you that you will. Okay.
Okay.
You understand that? We command that block in her brain that tells her.
Okay.
Okay.
We command that block in her brain that tells her that she cannot speak in tongues to go right now, to come down right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Diane?
Yes.
Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, that you're giving her the gift of her private heavenly language right now. In the name of Jesus. She's been baptized in the Holy Spirit back in 69 or 70. We ask that you do it again. Give her a refilling with the evidence of the speaking in tongues right now. In the name of Jesus. Now I want you to quit speaking English and start speaking the heavenly language that God has just now given back to you. That's it right there. There it is. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. That's
Amen.
It.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now what you do, Diane, is you practice that. You keep practicing it, because what it does, it builds up your faith. It Amen. Builds your spirit up.
Amen.
Praise God. Now you're doing it, girl.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. You're an awesome God. You're an awesome God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anything else, Diane? You're on a roll now, girl.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I've been getting into David's messages on women and the word and authority. And I just, the light. I mean, I've read these before years ago, but the light still. I told Missy today, I really believe the Lord is fine-tuning us. He's really fine-tuning us. And I realized how I saw so much more of the Jezebel spirit that I had, that I pray, Lord, I to be completely delivered from it, because the group I was with, I don't want to say they promoted it. In ignorance, I would say they promoted it, not intentionally. You know what I'm saying? But
they were promoting what? Jezebel?
Women having positions in the church.
Okay. Yeah.
Over men, and right. And it never set well with me. I kept trying to, I've been researching it off and on for many, many times, because it didn't register with my spirit. There was no amen in my spirit, no matter how many verses people share. And I would go back and forth with my husband several times, and it just, the Lord wouldn't let me buy it, I guess. And so I told Missy today, I just feel, since I left a couple weeks ago, I just feel this weight lifted off of me. This just, I just praise the Lord. I feel like he snatched me out of the fire. And
praise God.
I really do. He just.
Well, hello.
Snatched praise me out God. Of the fire. And I'm so thankful and so grateful. And I just appreciate your brothers and your labor and the light that is in this ministry, and the conviction, the good conviction that comes every time I read it. You know, I see a little bit more, and it's like, oh, wow, Lord, wow. I didn't realize, I just didn't realize how. Just for an example, there was a brother's, I'm not sure if it was his dream or his vision, Stephen Crowder, at the end of this particular article. And just comments like that I have accepted or probably even repeated, like, oh, that's a man thing. Oh, men are just that way. You know, things like this. And when you see today how this feminist movement that really picked up when I was a teenager back in the late 60s, it is just, it's scary. It's coming to fruition right now in politics, in religion, in everything in society. And yes, it never set well with me that women should be in these high positions. Because I'm a woman, and I know how emotional women are, and how even with our hormones, ups and downs and everything like this. And I just appreciate the Lord, how he's just saving me. He is saving me. I realized that I had a Jezebel spirit, but I never realized how much I had a Jezebel spirit. And I just praise the Lord for the light and that the Lord is fine-tuning us, and he really is perfecting us. And I am so grateful. Praise you, Lord. Amen.
Well, one thing that you don't have to worry about here, hon, we got a bunch of flesh-killing men here that'll help you out. We don't mind helping out in that respect.
I got a couple in my house, too.
All right. Go ahead, Leah.
Oh, I just wanted to answer Diane's question about the Holy Spirit. I know that you spoke in tongues and you got the Holy Spirit, but anytime anybody blasphemes the Holy Spirit, they're going to be reprobated by God, and they won't have any religious affiliation after that. They won't be seeking God. So if anybody ever asks you, you can just tell them that, because if they're actually seeking God, then they're not reprobated. And so that actually proves that they're not, they haven't blasphemed the Holy Spirit.
It's generally a religious spirit that does that. So
yeah.
Okay. And I know what to name.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Anything else, Diane?
I think that's it for now.
Okay, go ahead, Julie.
Hi. Diane, I was just going to add to that about the big head thing about you're speaking in tongues. The devil does that to a lot of us. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit and you start speaking in tongues, he'll try to puff you up and make you think you're something. And it's just called, you know, it's a spiritual pride. It's something we have to outgrow. So I went through that too.
Yeah.
It's normal.
Normal. And the Lord understands that. And he has a lot of grace on us. And he pulls us through.
Yeah, he gives us a little humbling when we need it. So,
yeah. Absolutely, amen. It's a wonderful gift. David likens it to the best one. I do too, because I know what it does to my spiritual self when I pray in tongues. I can tell you this much: when I pray in tongues and pray. And pray in tongues before the conference call, we always have a good one. And when I don't, it's always sitting around waiting on somebody to say something. Because I ain't got nothing to say. I didn't fill up before I came. But yeah, it's good stuff. It really is. And I'll tell you something else. That speaking in tongues does for you before you minister to you know, before your day starts. That's what I try to get some, at least 15, 20 minutes of just nothing but tongues. And it helps. It helps. It really does. It builds yourself up. It encourages your spirit man up to overcome. It helps to overcome. Don't neglect it either, because you'll lose it. No, it's like riding a bicycle, didn't it? All right, anybody else? Okay, who is that? 509, raise the hand. Is that? Hang on here. I got to get some stuff out of the way. Yeah, go ahead. Is that, who is that? Malcolm, go ahead. Malcolm, come back to the phone.
There you go, unmuted. I just did a toggle. Okay. Sorry about that. So I was just wanted to say that the grandmother down in Brazil is doing much better. So I just wanted to.
Praise God.
I just got that news from my niece, and so I just thought I'd pass it on. I told her a bunch of my friends had prayed for her. So, all right, that's it.
Oh, well, thanks for the update. We'll keep on praying for her. Thank you, Lord, for doing a complete job on her.
Amen.
Bringing her into the kingdom if she's not. Okay, anyone else? George, you got something you want to share?
Yeah, lately I've just been thinking about restoration of what God's going to do for the end times, for the body of Christ, and our job maybe to look out and prepare. There's going to be a lot of what we see in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, but I think where we're at now is maybe in that man-child ministry at Jesus, when his public ministry of he came across a lot of unclean spirits. And if you all you got to do is kind of open one eye and look around, and it ain't too hard to see them nowadays. And I think even in the body of Christ, and maybe it takes some introspection and some inventory, some owning up to maybe applying the blood and asking God, all the time, do not let me be deceived. If there's anything in me, flood me with your truth. Lead me to your truth. I want to be set free. The truth that I know will set me free. And just seek it with all our heart. You were talking about gifts to seek after. I think the word zeal came to me. The zeal of the Lord. If I could get the gift of the zeal of the Lord, it would lead me to seek after the other gifts and seek after nothing but the kingdom and his will, to do his will and to be active more. But I think deliverance is being restored. It's a much needed part of the full gospel. We focus a lot on other things and sometimes neglect it. And even if it's just ourselves, and like I said, running an inventory, getting some of the old books out of the warriors who have been in the trenches with deliverance, decades ago even, and just cutting off curses, all the Masonic and secret societies and occult influences. I mean, this country's in those roaring 20s. There's been wave after wave of Eastern and occult influences on this country, America, and people just dabbled in stuff and didn't think nothing about it, and brought curses on their family. And we need to break that stuff off. We might be dealing with issues in our children and things that we don't have any clue how they got in. Or, we just need to go ahead and, like I said, do that inventory and shut every door that could be shut, paint the house with the blood of Jesus, and see some action. If something burps up or gets crazy, just anticipate it and move on and thank God. And then go set other people free. I think there's a lot of, we're going to see a lot of action in the future when it comes to deliverance and proclaiming liberty to the captives. And I think there's going to be such a gratitude in the body and a melding of, like you were talking about, knitting us together from not being ashamed of what God can do to this clay vessel, to clean it up, fill it with light, and then God gets all the glory. So there's no shame in being delivered. There's glory that he wants to share with us, but the house has got to be prepared for that glory.
Amen. That's why David's been talking on sanctification the last few times, and probably will continue for a little while. Sanctification, getting right, getting holy, getting walking that road that God wants us to walk in, to get prepared for this anointing that's coming. It's going to be awesome.
One more thing. This ministry, there's a ton of truth that we get through this ministry, And I believe it spares us from a lot of that violent, crazy stuff sometimes, because the truth itself will flush out. That's where freedom's coming from for a lot of us. And we may not even realize that when we get delivered from some bad news, some woolly boogers or whatever, the demons and that, whatever it is, the truth really does set us free, and it helps us avoid opening doors to those. And, you know, it's like I said, inventory, sometimes little knickknacks and curios and things that we think are cute. There's people all over the world implanting spirits into some, you know, all these little trinkets and things that we want to bring in the house. And, you know, we just need the fear of God to say, you know, don't let me stumble. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. All these little doodads that people bring in their house, they don't know anything about. You know, they love to be something from an Eastern cult. They need to bless them before they get in the house. Amen. Woolly boogers. Yeah, we need to get rid of all them woolly boogers. Praise God. That's a good one. I hadn't heard that in a while. Yeah, absolutely. We got to be ready. Anybody else? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
He was mentioning truth a lot there, but we know when the Lord gives you truth, he's always giving you some mercy there too at the same time. And, you know, they go hand in hand. It's nice to go before the Lord before him to ask for these things too, to ask for the truth and to get this mercy, to run to the mercy seat and ask him for this truth. And whenever someone mentions truth, you know, I think of the mercy, and I think of Proverbs 3, and it goes right down to that ornament of grace around your neck, and it's affixed there. I don't know if it's on top of your breastplate of righteousness or if it's attached to the breastplate of righteousness, but I know it's putting on the Lord Jesus Christ for that grace and that truth and mercy. I go into the concordance and you look up mercy and there's that one psalm there. And it's, you can just see the list because it says mercy endureth forever, mercy endureth forever. And it's just so lovely to see, that mercy and truth linked together to give you that that grace from God. Anyway, great God.
Amen. Anybody else? Can y'all hear me okay? Let me get my professional microphone over here. Now you can hear me better, can't you? Yeah. Go ahead, Leah.
I wanted to comment on what Pat was saying when he was talking about Psalm 23 and reading that, and we were talking about the Holy Spirit at that time. But what came to my mind was 1 Corinthians 2, and I want to read verses 11 through, I think it's 16, yeah, verses 9 through 16. That's 1 Corinthians 2. 9 through 16, and it says, and it's Paul finishing up on some things he was saying before this. And if you read the latter part of chapter 1 and start in verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 1, you'll get the whole context. But starting in 9 for this thing, it says, But as it is written, things which I saw not, and ear heard not, and which entered not into heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared then for them that love him. But unto us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For who among men knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God none knoweth, save the Spirit of God. But we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that were freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Spirit teacheth, combining spiritual things with spiritual words. Now the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them, because they are spiritually judged. But he that is spiritual judges all things, and he himself is judged of no man. For whom hath known the mind of the Lord, that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And that's the thing. Without the Spirit of God, you can't know anything about the promises. You don't know how to function. You don't know how to access all of the goodness that God has done for you. You don't know how to employ the gifts. You don't even know anything about the gifts, because that's spiritually discerned. You know, people read that and they go, huh, oh, well, that passed away. But it's not. You know, it has to be given by God. And we have to have the Spirit of God to partake in that with him. And like you were saying, Michael, having the Holy Spirit is the most important thing that you could want in your ministry. So that's all I had to say.
Oh. All right. Thank you, Leon. Anybody else? What do you think, Tim? Ah, gotcha.
Well, I'm thinking about it, and I think that Solomon had the right idea. Wisdom is probably the gift that, you know, I would desire the most, because it seems like something that I'm lacking. I think it would give an opening to the other gifts. If you had wisdom, you know, good discernment, and it'd be a really great blessing to have more wisdom. So that would be one place where I would go if I could have another or more of one of the gifts.
Mm-hmm. Remember what happened to Solomon. I'm just saying, you know, I'm just throwing that out there, bud.
Quite right.
I'd like a lot more wisdom myself. Yeah. Talk about Jezebels. Boy, he had a bunch of them, didn't he? Go ahead, Pat.
Maybe we need to ask for the wisdom not to end up like Solomon.
Well, that's a good way to put it.
What I was thinking about, Leon, when you were saying that, those verses in Corinthians, the first thing I thought of was what Jesus told to Nicodemus when he said, Jesus said to him, "Truly I say unto you, except one be born anew," or born from above, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." And, of course, Nicodemus responded from an earthly perspective to him, saying, "Well, wait a minute, if I'm born, can I be born again? You know, go back into my mother's womb and be born again?" He couldn't see it. He couldn't perceive it. So I mean, it's just when you said that, it was that's just those are the verses that kind of came out to me. So I guess, I mean, people of the Old Testament had the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, but obviously there was a difference, a giving of the Holy Spirit from a different perspective after Jesus in the New Covenant. So, but this leader, Nicodemus, even though he was attracted to God, he didn't have the perspective of the Holy Spirit. So what was, say, the difference between Isaiah, Elijah, and some of the and the prophets?
Oh, I can tell you.
Okay.
The Old Testament had the Holy Spirit upon them. The New Testament people of God that are baptized in the Holy Spirit have the Holy Spirit in them. That's the difference. And I like the way that, what's the guy's name down in Alabama, explained the Holy Spirit. He said, when the Holy Spirit is on you, he said, it's like taking a Coke bottle, empty Coke bottle, putting your finger over the top of the Coke bottle, submersing it in water. That's the Holy Spirit on you. Then turning your thumb loose while it's underneath the water, now it's in you. You see what the difference is? That's the difference in the Old Testament and the New Testament is the way he explained it. Go ahead, Missy.
And didn't in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came and go, it came in and went on the prophets or whoever, you know, it came on them, like you said, but,
yeah, she wants to get prayed for.
She just wants some lovings. But yeah. Yeah.
That would happen.
Came and go, yeah. It would come and go. Only when, you know, when the Lord would put it on them for his purpose, you know. Mm-hmm. The prophet would only speak when the Holy Spirit came on them. But anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
So can we, if we, in our new covenant time, had been walking or had not received the Holy Spirit, would we in fact be walking in an old covenant relationship with God? And would experience the Holy Spirit on us at times as opposed to in us continually? That's a question.
Well, go ahead, Leah.
Well, when we get saved, we receive the Spirit of Christ. We have the Spirit of Christ in us. But if we're not, that's the difference between the called and the chosen. Okay, the called have not the Holy Spirit. They have the Spirit of Christ in them, so they have the opportunity to get the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And if they submit to the Lord and they answer that call, that's just a call. The Spirit of Christ is just a call. And if they answer that call and get the Holy Spirit, then they're the chosen or the elect. And that's the difference there. You know, these people don't necessarily walk under the Old Testament because they have the Spirit of Christ in them. But they're still not totally redeemed. They're just called at that point. And when they get the Holy Spirit, then they become the elect of God. So
Wait a minute. Let me clarify something here.
Okay.
Let me see how we can put this. I don't want anybody to get in any kind of an error. It's not that when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit that you have arrived.
Right.
At all.
Right.
It's part of the walk of Christ that you have. The fruit that you bear maintains whether or not you're the chosen.
Right.
Okay. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit and go straight to hell. If you're not bearing the fruit of Christ in your life, you know. Go ahead, Andrew. I just thought I'd clarify. I knew what Leon.
Thank you. No, I agree with what you said.
Yeah.
So
isn't it like the parable of the sower with the four different lands? Yeah. Yeah, the first land, the seed was taken away. There's a lot of people that are in denominationalism that are in that land. And then there's the second and third land. Where they have, I believe, the Spirit of Christ, but they're not bearing the amount of fruit they need. And then there's the fourth land where they bear the fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold.
As David so aptly put it, he said, the called have been invited to partake of the fullness of Jesus. That's what the chosen are. That's what called are. The called are the ones that, it's not the lost, it's of course the ones that have been born again and have been invited to partake of Jesus Christ in their life, to walk like Jesus, to talk like Jesus. That's what the chosen, that's what the called is for, is just to be invited. You're invited to partake of Christ from that point on. And what you do with it, if you're just a called down through there, that's not going to say that somebody that's not filled with the Holy Spirit is not going to go to heaven. That's not it at all. It's the bearing the fruit of Christ in your life that gets you to heaven. And it's hard to do without being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it also goes along with how long you've been in Christ when you die, you know, that kind of thing. You take somebody 40 years in Christ, that all they've done is gone to church and paid the preacher and have not gone any further than where they were the first day that they got baptized. Where's the fruit, you know? That's what you have to ask yourself. Where's the fruit? If there's no fruit, the fruit, of course, was the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there. If you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, you need to seek it. You need to run after the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit. I tell you what, that book, what's the name of that book David has? Salvation Instant and Progressive. You read that book there. That's a good one. Salvation Instant and Progressive. This walk that we have with Christ is not just a one-time thing. You get your ticket punched and everything's all right. You can kick back now and everything's cool. You know, you're going to heaven. You're just waiting on Jesus to come get you. But that's not it. That's not it at all. And the fruit that most people are looking for in the mainline denominational churches is witnessing to somebody and bringing them into the church. That's not it. The fruit is Jesus Christ in you. How much of Jesus is in you? How much of the flesh has died and the Spirit of Jesus has come up in you, has matured in you? And it's not anything that I do, you do, or anybody else does. It's by faith. It's all by faith. Every bit of it's by faith. And we just believe God's doing it in us as we read and study the Word of God. Anybody that thinks that they're going to heaven by not reading the Word of God and studying and showing themselves approved is mistaken. You just can't learn about Jesus unless you read the Word of God. Yeah, Leah.
Well, I was just going to say I've got a habit of oversimplifying things. You know, just like that statement I made last week about, or at the study the other day about what I learned from the book. And then after people came, or they didn't come against me per se.
Oh, man, they did. They come against you. Big. Oh,
okay. Well, anyway, whatever it is, I have a problem of oversimplifying things. That's just like what I just told Pat. That was an oversimplification of what it was. And you correctly corrected me, and that was fine. And the people that corrected me at the study as well, that was good, because it forced me to expand a little bit and get a little more in depth. So,
amen. Just like I said, Diane, we got a bunch of flesh killer men in here. They'll take care of you. We'll get you matured, or run you off one or the other. No, I'm just kidding you. Okay. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
I guess I wanted to add too with the Holy Spirit, in that we always have the Holy Spirit, and you know, we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit and the gifts, and you know, to seek and ask for the gifts and all that. But there's times like the anointing is there when God has you ministering. And I know a lot of you, I'm sure you all have at times felt that, where you just know you felt the Holy Spirit working, and the door is open for you. You weren't looking for it to happen. And God just brought you somebody that needed him. You know, he chose you or whatever to minister to somebody, whether it was speaking a good word to somebody, praying for somebody, comforting somebody, bringing healing or deliverance or whatever the circumstance, that is the anointing that comes on you at times, that comes and goes.
The Holy Spirit will use you with that anointing. You know, those anointings from the gifts of the Lord are awesome when used. When the gift comes on, you know it's on you. You know it. The Holy Spirit lets you know it's there. I'm here. Here I am. You need to go to work, boy or girl. It's awesome. I'll tell you what, one that I always loved to watch was William Branham. Anybody know who William Branham was? He's an old time, back in the 50s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. He died in 65, I believe. But he had the gift of the word of knowledge. And I'm going to tell you something, that man was spot on every time. He was spot on. They said his whole ministry, nobody ever remembered him missing what he said. I mean, he would be standing on this, in this great big auditorium. He'd be on the stage up there. He's just a very humble guy from Kentucky, I believe. And he'd be on stage and he'd be talking about something, and then he'd just stop and he'd say, "There's a lady up there on the eighth row up there, four seats back," he'd say. He said, "Your name is Jane Doe. Is that not right?" And then you hear some woman up there scream, say, "Come on down. God wants to bless you." And she'd come on down. He said, "Have we ever met?" "No. No, I've never met you before. Have I ever talked to you?" "No." "Well, here's what God has to say for you. You just had a divorce, and you've been praying for your husband." And Charles, then she'd just get all excited. "Yeah, that's right. Glory to God, that's right. I've been praying for that." You know, and she'd call him some kind of name. He said, "Well, just know this, that God bring him home. See you later." And then she'd just go off, just praising God. Next thing you know, she'd call back or something. She'd come back and she'd say, "Well, what you said was true." He'd come back that night. I'm telling you, Mr. Branham, he come back that night, that man did, and he was so humble. He was so humble. Did you let him in, ma'am? No, I didn't let him in. The man was out there messing up. I ain't going to let it. No, I just. But, you know, he was out of what? He'd say, he'd call him out and said, you had cancer. You've been diagnosed with cancer. Come down here. God wants to heal you. And they'd come down there and they'd be all, you know. And God would, he'd just heal them, just like it. The guy was spot on all the time. Look, William Branham was the type in the shadow of what's fixing to happen to a lot of us, to a lot of us. God's going to use every one of us that are still around by the time that it happened. In that kind of a way, it's going to be signs and wonders that brings this revival on, because God is going to populate heaven in the next 7 years or eight or however how long it's going to be. He's going to populate heaven. I know he's got some up there now, but this revival coming now is going to populate it with millions of folks that are going to come out of these apostate churches, because they're going to see the signs and the wonders. And now all they're going to know is devastation around, but they're going to see Pat out there walking around bringing folks back to life, or Andrew up there bringing people to Jesus, and Joe DeBrazy out there witnessing to thousands and bringing them to Jesus, you know. I'm just saying that's the type of stuff that we're going to see when it's coming, because when you get that anointing from the Lord here in a little bit, it's going to make all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. Because Michael goes, Jesus comes. That's what's going to happen. Pat's going to leave, Jesus is coming. Missy going to leave, I don't know who's coming. But anyway, here... No, Jesus is coming in her too. Amen. I like to pick old Missy. She's a good sport. All right, anybody else left, Leon?
Yeah, I just wanted to tell people about the earthquakes that are supposedly coming tomorrow. There's been an additional person to... I think he's a scientist. I don't know his name or anything, but he says that the 20th of March, which is the spring equinox, is the most active day for earthquakes since we've been keeping records. So it's a good possibility that there will be an earthquake tomorrow. It's supposedly on the East Coast or on the West Coast, and maybe at the New Madrid fault line there, but it could affect all of us. So just be aware that there's other confirmations that that's going to happen. So that's all I need to say.
I was looking here. I heard today the spring equinox actually is the 21st. I thought it was the 20th too until somebody mentioned it. But anyway, Missy, do you mind giving your dream that you had about the bride and the man child and that part of it? You mind that?
Yeah, just
Oh, you do?
No, I don't mind.
Okay.
You want me to tell the dream about that, specifically about the bride and man child?
And that other one you had too.
Okay.
They're both pretty short.
That I was talking to Malcolm about was part of it, but I'll just, okay. I'm going to pull up, cause I know it's so much easier. I'm going to pull up and share that dream. I have it in Word. I'm going to put it on the screen because I know it's so much easier to get it and follow along when you see it in print too. This is for me. Okay. This is what David had me put on the blog. I had sent this to him. I had a dream with two parts. Basically, what the Lord conveyed to me was that I wasn't to forget to get some extra food. The other part was a scene where I was driving my car and ran out of gas. And I had to laugh about that because that really hit the point home. When I ran out of gas, I looked down at my gauges and thought, I forgot to get more gas. Then I drifted and steered over to the side of the road into a parking area. I was already in the process of doing these things, but I believe the Lord wanted me to hurry and get them done. So I did most of what I needed to do today, which actually was yesterday. I believe that something is going to happen very soon, that the extra food, water, and gas is going to be necessary. I've never had dreams like this, that the Lord impressed me to hurry and get something done. I also believe with a dream about the man child and bride coming right after the dream to get supplies, that the anointing of the man child and choosing of the bride are not far behind. Now, let me look up here quick. I'm gonna pull up. Okay, here's the dream. I was watching a video, I believe on YouTube. There is a groom, Jesus and the man child, and a bride, the bride company, standing on a stage. It's a worldwide stage. And there was a love song being played, Song of Solomon. This song is their story. Also, what came to me was Psalm 45, which is titled A Song Celebrating the King's Marriage. During this song being played, there was a brief clip of the two of them when they had gone on an excursion into a forest on red ATVs, Jesus taking his bride through the wilderness of trials and tribulations to get rid of the flesh, riding on the red ATV, resting from our works, represents Jesus has done it all by sacrificing his life and shedding his blood. At the end of the song, all I saw was the two of them up close. All I saw clearly was the bride's face. I didn't see the groom's face. She was so beautiful. She had the most beautiful blue eyes and the most beautiful complexion. No spots, wrinkles, or blemishes. Ephesians 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. She didn't have one bit of makeup on. She had beautiful, shiny, dark hair that was pulled back under a white veil that draped down the back of her head. Song of Solomon 1:7. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest thy flock, where thou makest it to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that is veiled beside the flock of heaven?
Hey, Missy, your audio went way down.
I don't know why.
It's okay now.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face. She was looking up at her groom's face with love, and tears welled up in her eyes. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:12. For now we see in the mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. She said to him, I liked the song. He said, I did too. Then she said, oh, you did? All I could see around them was the night sky, except there was a glow on the horizon. That's dawn, and a single bright star in the sky. Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, sent mine angel to testify unto thee, unto you these things for the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright, the morning star. 2 Peter 1:19, we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well that ye take heed as unto a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. 2 Corinthians 4:6, seeing it is God that said, light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. After I woke up, I thought about the dream for a little bit and then looked at the time on the phone and it said 10:10. Right away, I thought of the phrase that has 10:10 as its gematria in Hebrew, according to the order Melchizedek, which is from Psalms 110:4. This chapter is about the man-child ministry and is titled Jehovah Gives Dominion to the King. In Hebrews 7:17, it says, after the order Melchizedek, which the gematria for that in the Greek is 2020. I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random for the dream and received where my finger landed is where it was is underlined. Now, I know we're running short on time, so I'm just going to give I'm just going to give that verse. He will come down like rain upon the mown grass. Come down is where I landed. He will come down like rain upon the mown grass as showers that water the earth. And one thing I didn't say about the title for Psalm 72 is the reign of the righteous king. There's a lot of similarities in everything that the Lord brought to my mind here. I was on my elliptical when I was thinking about the dream still yesterday, and the Lord was showing me things, just bringing to my attention all the fine details of things that I brought out here, and things that came to my mind and the scriptures and everything. And I was just like, wow, it just blew me away that the Lord was, you know, even while I was on my elliptical, he was, you know, showing me stuff about it. And I was like, okay, Lord, don't let me forget this stuff. So I was just like really, I was totally blown away by this when, you know, the Lord really started showing me all the different stuff in it. Lord's good. Lord's good. Can't hear you, Michael.
Well, you got to unmute, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said that was a good one. Was that a dream or was that something else that you came up with, a movie or something you saw?
No, it was a dream, but in the dream I was watching a video.
Oh, okay. All right. Praise God. That's a good one. Man, child, and the bride. Thank you, Lord. Well, Lord, we just thank you for a wonderful time tonight. We thank you for all the healings. We thank you for all the deliverances, Father. And we thank you for all the prayers that are answered. And we know that all of them are answered. And Father, we just praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, that Diane is now speaking in tongues. And she's going to utilize it to the fullest extent. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for being with us as we wait until we come back Thursday. And Lord, I just ask and pray, Lord, that you would place it in everybody's mind to pray before they come on the conference call Thursday night. Because I believe you're going to do some more exciting things. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Protect us, Lord, during all these, whatever's coming up. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. God bless you.